Well, let's turn to John 3:16. We're going to read this as we do. This is covenant. This is covenant here. John 3:16. And I'm going to read 16, 17, and 18. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, neither should we." We're not here to condemn. We're here to love and to share the good news of the gospel. "But that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So we're talking about faithfulness. And we've been sharing some scriptures. We can turn over to Matthew 25 and verses 14, starting in verse 14. But just a thought today as we're turning there. This is something foundational, and this will help us in the area of faithfulness. We always ask, "Is how can I be more faithful?" Well, that's really not that difficult. When you look at today, you look at society, look at the world, even the church world, sad to say. But if you look at the world and society, the further away that it gets from God, the further away it gets from him, you can see less and less faithfulness. Not only just faithfulness to God, but faithfulness in period. There's less faithfulness to each other. There's less faithfulness between husband and wife. There's less faithfulness, period. Employees to employer, there's less faithfulness. It's sad to say, when I was growing up, you'd see basketball players that would stick, or baseball players that would stick with the same team. They don't do that anymore. It's about money. There's no faithfulness. There's no fidelity to something. And I personally think it's because people have just moved further and further away from God. And so there's a less moral right with people. And so when you look at that, think about this. What is 1 John 4? I believe it's 1 John, is it 5 or 4:8? 4:8. God is love. And 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful. So now that's not too difficult to see that when I don't operate in the love of God, I'm not faithful. You ever think about that? That if I don't operate in the love of God, I'm not faithful. See, we all say, "I want to be faithful." How do we be faithful? Walk in love. Because when you're not faithful. And we think faithfulness means something else, but think about this. God is a covenant-keeping God. That's what he said with Noah. He said, "I keep my covenant between me and you." So he's a covenant-keeping God. Even what did he say in Hebrews 13? He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." He is faithful. Thank God. Thank God. He's faithful. When I, is what he said, what the scripture says, even when I'm not, he is. Thank you. goes right there, because most of us, you know, from the time we got saved till now, there's a lot of times we haven't been faithful. Faithful to walk in love, faithful to tithe or give, faithful to just do anything where God's concerned. But he remains faithful. Thank you. And so I can see here that as we get to know him, what do we become? We become more like him. So we become covenant-keeping people. We become faithful people. And so as God says that we are a light to be set upon a hill, what good is the salt if it's lost its savor? So we want to become people of our word. We want to become faithful people. Why? So God can trust us. God can use us. So that when we interact with people, our word sticks. When I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to be there. I'm going to do it. You see? And that's what the world is lacking. That's what is lacking. And what the world is looking for when they see people that, my God, when you see people that are just going to just keep their word, they'll say, can't be. It can't be. But it's true that as we become more and more like him, isn't that what Romans 12:2 says? Be not conformed to this world. So that means I don't want to be a truth breaker. I don't want to be an unfaithful person. I'm going to be a faithful person. But how am I going to do that? By being transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I can do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how it's done. And so becoming a faithful person is something that doesn't just boop happen overnight. So thank God. God is merciful and he's faithful. And God is causing us to change, to become more and more like him. When you think about that, how do I become faithful? Well, I just shared that, but when you think about it, if you wanted to be faithful, let's think about this. You just look it up in the dictionary. The word faithful can also mean fidelity. So if I said, I want to make an exact replica of something, a car, a dress, or an outfit, or a suit, what would I do? I'd pattern it after something. But that would mean that I would be faithful to replicate something. You see? Well, how am I going to do that? I'm going to do that, become like him. I'm going to become an exact replica. I am his image here in this earth. And the more and more I become like him, they don't see me anymore. And I think I've shared this. I don't have the website here. There was a group of a tribe in Africa. What was the name of that I used? The Shining Ones, thank you. You can look that term up. It's called The Shining Ones. And they were in Rwanda in the 1930s. Their skin literally shined. You can look it up on the website. They're called The Shining Ones. This was a tribe in Rwanda. And they said it would be unusual for a person of color, especially in Africa, which has a darker skin, to shine, literally shine. And they said that what happened in this tribe, that, and this didn't happen overnight, this happened over a period of, I think they said, 30, 40, 50 years, where there was no, if somebody offended someone, they immediately asked for forgiveness. And they said this tribe began to shine. Their skin did. which was unusual. It was a testimony. Well, isn't that what the scripture said? That we become transformed. But that word transformed, if you look it up in the Greek, that word in the Greek is metamorphou. What does that mean? It means literally to transliterate. It means to when Jesus was transfigured, what happened? He shined. So literally, he had already put aside his glory. So he was a prototype. He showed us how we could be. So as man becomes transformed by the word, over time, they literally are transfigured. So what does that have to do with faithfulness? That as we change, we become more and more like him. Our very nature changes. Our nature changes. Our soul changes. Our mind is changed. So now the things that I did and said before, I don't do anymore. I'm a faithful person. And you can see that in some of the scriptures. I'll share this. This was something that when you look at the word faith or faithfulness, the word, or just the word faith, if you look at the word faith, it also can be translated as faithfulness or fidelity. So if you look at the word in Hebrews 11:6, where it says it's impossible, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That word faith is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and it can mean fidelity or faithfulness. So when we are faithful, it also means someone who can be trusted or counted upon. So God is looking for somebody who's committed, who can be counted on to believe him and his word, just like Abraham. When he was given an instruction, he didn't waver. What does it say in Romans? He staggered not at what? The promises of God, but he stuck with it. He was faithful, you see. And that's why he was rewarded like he was. But one thing here, let me just read this thought here I had. It says, faith cannot operate independently of the Word of God. Faith cannot operate independently of the Word of God. So now let me ask this question. Can faithfulness operate independently of the Word of God? If you said, I'm just going to work up being faithful, you'll never make it. It won't work. You can do it. That's like saying, I'm just going to love this person. No, you're not. You won't. They'll just do one thing and you're like, forget it. That's it. Forget it. It won't work. Faithfulness won't work without the grace of God. You need the grace of God to do what? Empower you to be faithful. You need, this is what Dr. Hutton was sharing, in order for you to prosper in the things of God, whether it's finances, whether it's your health, you need the grace of God to empower you to be that, to be prosperous, to be healthy, to be faithful. You can't do it by yourself. You need the power of God. You need his grace to empower you to be. Can't do it without it. And by faith, we have access into this grace. So we need faith to access the grace of God. So when we can do it, when we get to the place where we say, I can't do this, it's hard to be faithful. I can't be faithful here. Lord, help me. Help me. He will empower you with his grace to be faithful. Just like that woman who was trying to make ends meet with her welfare check, she believed God and God empowered her to be wealthy. See? But what it's going to take is believing him. And what does the scripture say? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, we having the same spirit of faith. This is 2 Corinthians 4, 4:13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So when we believe, we have to speak what we believe. I'll tell you, you hang around people long enough, they'll tell you what they believe. They're lickety split. You hang around folks for a while and they'll just get off, they'll get into sharing what they think. And what they think is what they believe. And so how much more for us when we have a covenant-keeping God, what we believe, we need to speak. Hallelujah. So one of the things here we want to just touch on today is just a couple of scriptures. Over here in Proverbs chapter 18, chapter 4, I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. So we're talking about faith and faithfulness. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is as the shining light. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And the Message translation says, the ways of right living people glow with light. This is the Message translation. The ways of right living people glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine. Well, let me ask a question. As we are faithful, would you say that's right living? A person who was faithful, a person who's true to their word, a person who was true to God, who's faithful to him and his word, that's right living. If I'm going to walk in love, if I'm going to treat people right, that's right living. When I'm faithful to him, that's right living. John 13 says that we're to love even as he loved. When I do that, that's just, that's right. Well, this says here, we glow with light. The longer we live, the brighter we shine. You see. So as we are faithful to him, we're going to be brighter and brighter and brighter in this earth. Now, let's turn over here. Just something I wanted to touch on briefly here in Galatians. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. And when we're talking about faithfulness and the work of the Holy Spirit in us, the presence of the Holy Spirit in us has an effect, would you not say? It sure does. His presence, his indwelling presence, has an effect. And you can see here that when you look at Galatians chapter 5, and my goodness, you could back up, but let's just look at verse 13. It says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." See that? If you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery." Now, these are the works of the flesh: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, and you might, you know, the Spirit of God doesn't need to have these fruit, but we do. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh, which the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." But Galatians 5:22, in the New Living Translation, it says, "But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us." I like that. When he has control of our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law. The Darby translation says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, fidelity." See, fidelity. That word fidelity means this quality or state of being faithful. When there's fidelity between a husband and wife, what are they? They're faithful to one another. There's fidelity. It's the state of being faithful. It says fidelity is also accuracy in details. It means exactness. So that if I said this is an exact copy of something, that would mean there's fidelity to make an exact replica. So the presence of the Holy Spirit in us will cause these things to come about in our lives. His presence, the Spirit of what? grace in us will empower us to be what? He will cause us to do what? To love, to have joy, not just joy in the night, but the joy of God, the peace of God. What else? The patience of God, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I like, this is the Amplified, it says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So part of this work of being faithful has to come about by yielding to the presence of God within us. And where the thought that that the Holy Spirit was bringing in my mind this morning was that just the same way that Dr. Hutton was sharing about we having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I have believed, and therefore I do what? I speak. So, when I find that I'm weak in an area, He, who? The Holy Spirit, will help me to be that. So when I'm finding that I'm weak in an area, weak in what? I may be weak in love, I may be weak in my joy, I may be weak or deficient or lacking in peace or patience or kindness or goodness or faithfulness, what am I to do? I'm to believe a God who is what? Faithful. A God that will do what? He has sent His Spirit to live in me, to empower me, so that I can walk in love, so that I can walk in joy, so that I can walk in peace and gentleness and faithfulness. So when I find that I can't do it, I say, Lord, I believe Your word. And I believe that the Spirit of God in me is empowering me to love. I believe that the Spirit of God in me is empowering me by Your grace to be faithful. I believe that the Spirit of God in me is empowering me with Your peace. When I don't feel peace, when I feel like smacking somebody and I don't feel love and I don't feel joy, what am I supposed to do? That's the time, just like this woman who was 81, didn't have money, but she believed God because He's a covenant-keeping God and began to believe and say. And we're going to have to do the same thing. This fruit that's going to be developed in us, what does that scripture say? It says, be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. And that process is an everyday process where we're going to have to believe God for working within us. But this process of, I think sometimes we think that God is just going to drop something on us and it's just going to change. Well, let me ask this question. Let's go back over. We'll close with this scripture. Matthew 24. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. Matthew 25, and look at verse 14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. Wow. So, the Holy God has given us the Spirit of God. And yes, he has distributed to all of us, each differently, different talents or gifts to be used for him. But we've all received power when we receive the Holy Spirit. We've all, by faith, have entered into and received his grace. So we all have been given the ability through him to be a light and a success. And I'll tell you, God's people are beginning to wake up to the fact that his provisions are available, and this earth is falling apart. And the things that this earth can provide, the things that are available to us, you know, I say this, just like Brother Hagin when he was alive. If you need a doctor, go to a doctor. If your faith is not at the level where you can believe God for something, he shares that. And I believe this, we don't put down doctors. Doctors, I believe, were ordained of God. But if you are in a position where you need some assistance and you don't get immediate results, don't put your life in jeopardy or danger. If your faith is not there, then go get the assistance that you need while your faith is working. What do I mean by that? If you need medicine, if you need something to help your body, while your faith is working, what do I mean by that? You're feeding on the Word of God and you're making a faith declaration. That medicine does not determine the outcome of your victory. This is forever settled in heaven. Right here. This word is forever settled in heaven. So that means there's nothing that can't be changed by the Word of God. That means your health. That means our personal life situation. That means our personal wealth can change if I feed on this. And I decree this covenant that I have with God, that God will open. What does the scripture say in Malachi 3:10? If you bring your tithe into the storehouse, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can hardly contain. Well, that sounds like more than enough to me. But I need to believe God, and I need to bring my tithe into the storehouse, and I need to confess and decree that the windows of heaven are open and not be moved by my circumstances. So what I'm saying here is that this word will change our lives, change our mind, change our relationships, change my faithfulness to God and my faithfulness to his covenant, faithfulness to people. It'll change me. And so as we feed upon his word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as faith grows, my faithfulness grows, my love grows, my peace grows, my patience grows, my meekness grows. Isn't that true? As I feed on the word of God. This may sound simple, but that's, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is probably the area that is probably in all of our lives, every single one of us, we're pressed with our time. If we said, if I just had a little more time, I could do more for God. We all say that. If I just had a little more time, if I just had a little more money, boy, I could do more for God. Yeah, that's true. But what are you doing with the time that you have now? What are you doing with the money that you have now? Which is what, if he truly is the Lord of my life, then that means he's the Lord over my time. See, and it's not like, well, hey, I got all day. Do you? Or is he the Lord over that time? Because we can find, just like this 81-year-old mother, she asked God, here's my money. You are my Lord over. That means I don't decide what I'm going to do with my time. I don't decide what I'm going to do with my money. I don't decide if he is Lord. I don't decide. So that may mean I may think, well, hey, I'm going to go do this today because I got all day. Really? He may say, no, I want you to pray. He may say, no, I want you to go over there and help that person. Or he may say, get up and do such, whatever it is. Bake this food and go deliver it to somebody. Call this person. Be a blessing to him. You see what I mean? And the scripture, this is what I like about God, because he's faithful. There's a scripture that I read a few weeks ago. It says here, Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. A reliable person will not, this is the Voice translation, a reliable person will not escape blessings. In Psalm 31:23, the Lord preserveth the faithful. That means he protects. He protects him. So when you, you know, when we talk about, I was sharing this, when was it? It was last week. There was something that happened on the stage with Pastor Judy, and there was something that was going on, and I shared with this person, there was a word spoken over this daughter of this person, and the Lord said, her deliverance is tied with his faithfulness. Because he was faithful to me, I am going to do what that young child wants. I'm going to protect her. I'm going to fulfill her heart's desire because of her dad's faithfulness and obedience. And I went, whoa. And Brother Hagin shared this when he was alive. He said that one day, it was in the evening, late at night, he had this urgency to pray. And he got down on his knees and prayed. And he said he prayed until there was a lifting, a note of victory. And he said he knew his son was in danger. His son's life was in danger. And he said to him afterwards, he said, if you hadn't been obedient to me to go out on the field ministry, he said, they'd have brought your son home in a body bag. And so a lot of times we don't realize he was over in Italy with, you know, with armed forces, and they were just clowning around up on some mountain, and his motorbike went off of a cliff, and the wheel was out, and then all of a sudden it went whoop, and it went right back on the road again. And he's, you know, they all made a big deal about it, but he said if he hadn't been faithful, he'd have gone off, he'd have been dead. And so a lot of times, you know, we talk about, you know, we hear, you know, when people make, I think sometimes make light of it, they say, oh, you know, I had a praying grandmother, I had a, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. And it was the faithfulness of some of our grandparents that were on their knees praying for their children and family members that God honored those prayers so that we can walk in the freedom and deliverances that we have. And just the same way today, you know, we're free today because of Christ's sacrifice. God honored that. And the same thing, the freedoms that we have today are because people gave their lives and gave their all for this country. And so we thank God, but I'm committed, me personally, to yield. He is Lord of our lives. And because he's Lord, that means I don't choose what I want to do with my life, with my money, even with my friendships. I don't choose that. He directs my life. And when he does that, and I yield to him as Lord, then that means he's faithful to me. And that faithfulness, my faithfulness to him and yielding to him, is going to build into me his nature, his character, and I'll become more and more just like him, which is faithful. Let's close, because we're done. I think we're going to just close with that thought. Father, we thank you. Thank you for these thoughts to help us become faithful, to be more and more like you, to yield to you, to let you be Lord, to let you be the supervisor, the director of our lives, so that you can work in us by your grace to help us to become more and more like you, to empower us with your presence, with your spirit, and work in us your very nature to be like you. And Father, we thank you. We desire, our heart's desire is to yield to you so that when we get to the place where we can't, we look for the power of God to work in us. And we thank you for it. We decree that these next 12 months are going to be the best 12 months that we've ever had in our whole spiritual walk. Our physical walk, our bodies will be better. Our spiritual walk will be better. And our prosperity will be better. And we decree that so that we can be a light and a blessing to this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.